understanding the nature, the power of the Holy Spirit and who He is. Not just an abstract concept, no, a distinct person of the Trinity who has divine attributes and characteristics. Now, I grew up as Oral Roberts' son, and in our home, the Holy Spirit was emphasized on a daily basis. As a teenager, I remember so very well my dad preaching on the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, that little video you just saw a moment ago, that little clip you saw a moment ago was from 1962 as he was preaching on the Holy Spirit. I was about 14 years of age. Preaching on who the Holy Spirit really is and His importance in our lives.
There is a new wave of power sweeping through the world. God is filling His people with the Holy Ghost. This is the hour of it when we are to receive it and to go forth in the magnificence of its strength and to bring deliverance to our fellow man. Many people say, Brother Roberts, I've never been taught about the Holy Spirit. You remind me when Paul came to Ephesus, as given in the 19th chapter of Acts. He found the Christians there, and he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit. And they replied, we have not even heard if there be a Holy Spirit. Then he laid his hands upon them and prayed. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues and prophesied. If you've never heard of it, read your Bible. Read the book of Acts. Read the first and second chapters of Acts specifically. Read it and see and be filled with desire to receive the Holy Spirit and go forth in its strength and power, because truly the Holy Spirit is your other comforter, the administrator of your life, the stimulator of your spirit, and the force and power of your Christian experience.
I was in so many crusades and meetings like that, hearing him preach messages like that. As a matter of fact, when I was a little boy, my bedroom was next to my parents' room. And early in the morning, I would awaken and I would hear them in there, my mother and dad. I would hear them talking to God, talking to Jesus, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And, you know, for a few years, I thought Jesus lived next door to me. Well, of course, Jesus did live next door to me, but He also was living in my room. Now, let's talk about the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Look over in your Bible to John chapter 14, or use your smart device and look up John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. Are you listening to that? That He may abide or live with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwells within you and shall be in you. Oh, what a powerful scripture. The world does not have the Holy Spirit. The world will never have the Holy Spirit. Only those who are born again, only those who have repented of their sins and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. I've got my Bible all marked up here. And let's read in the 26th and the 27th verse. This is very, very important. Very, very critical that you understand this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, infirmities there is not a reference to being sick. It's a reference to weaknesses. So we could read it, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession, and that's prayer, for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, or in other words, with groanings for which there is no equivalent in human speech. And He, that is the Holy Spirit, that searcheth the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'm going to get into this in more detail, especially in the second class next week. But when a person receives Christ, The Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in your heart. So in other words, you don't have to go and get the Holy Spirit. Now that was a teaching for many, many years that you first you got saved and then you got sanctified and then you had to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit came in. The scripture makes it very clear. He comes in and takes up a residence in your heart. And what is he doing in there? You know, he's interceding. He's praying. He's praying 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in a straight line prayer to God. He knows the mind and will of the Father, and he also knows what's deep down. Notice it said, with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's talking about what's way down on the inside of you, for which there is no equivalent in human speech. I mean, we're way down inside of you, and you don't know how to get that out. The Holy Spirit is reaching down inside of you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I gave my heart to the Lord at 19, I felt like something bubbling up inside of me. I was not aware that that bubbling up that I felt was the Holy Spirit. That was His intercession. That was Him interceding in my behalf. Now, as I said, we'll get into more of that next week in the second session, because I'm going to give my own personal testimony. Let's move on now. Move on to the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity. We understand that God expresses Himself in three ways: as a Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. We Christians are not serving three gods. We're worshiping one God who expresses Himself as the Heavenly Father, as the Son who came to give us healing and forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Let me give you an example. You take water. It's a liquid. You boil it and it becomes steam. You freeze it and it becomes solid, but it's still water. Water has three expressions. God has three expressions: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When Lindsay and I first got married, we'd stop by a convenience store, and she liked one particular drink. She liked 1/3 hot chocolate, 1/3 hot water, 1/3 hot coffee. And we got to where we'd call it a third, a third, a third. And she would say, we'd pass a convenience store, say, "Would you get me a third, a third, a third?" Well, I knew what that meant. I'd go inside and I'd get her 1/3 hot water, 1/3 hot coffee, 1/3 hot chocolate. Well, one day I went into this convenience store and they were out of coffee. So I gave her 1/2 water and 1/2 hot chocolate. And I put a lid on it and I put one of those little kind of, you know, those straws you put in, the kind that you suck on and not much comes out. You know the kind of straw I'm talking about? And I handed it to her in the car and I started driving. She looked up and she said, "This is not a third, a third, a third." I said, "It's not." She said, "No, it's half, half." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I know the difference." I know what's next. A third, a third, a third. God expresses Himself as a Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Now turn over to Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now this is a reference to Christ's death and resurrection, meaning something happens to us when we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It means the old self, the old you, the old me, was crucified. We were crucified with Christ, and we rose from the dead, as it were, with Him. Now that means we have the unlimited power of God in us. You see, the Holy Spirit is not merely an extension of God's power, but He is a distinct person with whom we as believers can have a personal relationship with. He is not an add-on. Now let's talk for just a moment about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Now what does that mean? First of all, omnipotent means He is all-powerful. There is no power on the face of the earth that can compare with the power of God. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omniscient. And that means He sees everything at the same time. He sees you, He sees me, He sees everything. Nothing escapes Him because He is omniscient. And He is omnipresent, which means He is everywhere at the same time. He is in you, He is in me, He is all over the world because He's God. He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent. That's what the attributes are of the Holy Spirit. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've got my Bible. I've got cards in here so I get to all these scriptures quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read verses 10 and 11. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, things of God no man knows, but the Spirit of God knows. He's talking about what's deep down on the inside you. Way down on the inside. And that's where you feel the Holy Spirit. You don't feel the Holy Spirit up here. You don't feel the Holy Spirit up here. You feel the Holy Spirit right here in your solar plexus area. This is where He is. This is where He lives inside of you. This is where you feel things. When you feel joy, you feel it here. When you feel sadness, you feel it here. This is where the Holy Spirit lives. It's the deep things of God that are deep down inside of you. Now turn over to John chapter 16 and verse 13. I don't have that mark. Let me find it. John 16 and verse 13. Are you with me now? Are you with me? Stay with me now. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. He is your teacher. He is your guide. He is your inner witness. He is the one who speaks inside of you and shows you where to go, what to do, and what to say when you get there. Now, the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believers. How does the Holy Spirit work in the life of the believers? How? Well, when a believer, like you and like me, releases the Holy Spirit who is in us, your life is totally transformed. You're never, ever the same again. And there's a tremendous anointing, and there is an enablement that follows. You see, when I was a boy and my father was teaching me, he'd put me up on his knee and he would teach me scriptures. Now, of course, as a teenager, I ran away from God. In fact, I told my dad to get the hell out of my life, and he said, "Son, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life." But when I came back to God, when I was 19, all those scriptures came flooding up within me. I didn't even realize they were inside of me. And my father taught me how to read the Bible. He taught me how to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he taught me how to see Jesus literally rising up out of the pages. And then he would have me go to the book of Acts, which is about witnessing, because it's the Acts of the Apostles. And he taught me that the book of Acts has no logical ending because it's not over. We are to be His witnesses. Now, picture this scene. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's cut a new covenant in His shed blood for the remission of sin. He has taken 39 stripes on His back for your healing and for mine. He has been crucified, dead, and buried. He's gone down into the upper part of Hades, which was called paradise, where He took the souls of the righteous, those who had died in faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those, and He sent them to heaven. Then He comes back in his body. He is resurrected from the dead. Mary finds out about it from the angel, tells the story to the disciples. Now he has risen from the dead. He has shown them the scars in his hands, the scars in his feet, the scars in his side. Now he's standing on the Mount of Olives. He's preparing to ascend to his Father. In Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall be witnesses," that's what my father was talking about, "you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, let's bring that into our language today. Jerusalem represents your home, where you live, your family. Judea represents where you go, the places that you frequent. And Samaria represents where it's tough, where it's difficult, where it's hard to be a witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and he adds, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He's talking about witnessing, but he's saying you can't be that witness without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he tells them, before you go out and you try to be witnesses of what you've seen me do, now go to a very special place of prayer. And the book of Acts tells the story of how they went out into an upper room and they came into harmony, into unity. I'll be dealing more about this next class. And suddenly, as they came into unity, there was a sound. It was a rushing, mighty wind that came through the room. And there appeared above their heads, as it were, tongues of fire. And they all began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit, who had come inside of each of them when they gave their hearts to Christ, suddenly came flooding up, so they were able to begin to pray in a language that they had never learned. It changed everything. And they could be the witnesses that Jesus had told them they would be. And that's when Peter walked out of that room, down the stairs, where a large crowd was gathered there at a certain time of the year where the Jews came from all over the world to celebrate. And he preached a message, and 3,000 gave their hearts to Christ, and the church of Jesus Christ was born. Now, there's so much more of this that I want to share with you in the next class, but let's take just a moment and talk about cultivating a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Richard, how do I do this? Well, first of all, it begins in your prayer time. In your prayer time. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne of God's mercy. I have prayer time every day, every night. I wake up in the morning praying, usually praying in the Spirit. And during the day, I'm praying in the Spirit. In the evening, I have a little prayer room in our home, and I go in there and I have a time of prayer, sometimes 20, 30 minutes. And then usually about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I awaken like I did this morning. It was a few minutes after 4 this morning when I went into that room and I began to pray. Praying in the Spirit, and then listening, acknowledging the Holy Spirit's presence, seeking His face. My father taught me, never seek the hand of God, seek His face, because if you get His face, you're going to get His hand. Yielding to the Holy Spirit every day in my life, listening to His voice inside me, showing me what to do, where to go, and what to do when I get there. Well, it boils down to listening to the voice of God. I have a friend who lives down in the Dallas area. He told me he gets up early every morning, he prays in tongues for an hour, then he stops and he listens for an hour. He wants the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction in his life. You've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Many, many years ago, in the trackless deserts of Arabia, there was a trainer of horses. He was hired by the king to train the horses. And he had a whistle, a very unusual whistle, and he used the whistle in his training methods. And each whistle had a different signal to the horses. And after a period of time, the horses got the idea. Through their training, they knew what the whistle meant. And there was one sound he made in the whistle that all the horses were to turn and trot back to him. Well, when their training of weeks and weeks was over, he gave them one last test. He made them go for a long period of time without water. And he would release them to run toward the water to get a drink. And just as they were about to put their muzzles down into the water, he would blow the whistle. And the horses would prick their ears and raise their heads, and some of them would turn and trot back. Others just buried their mouths into the water. And the ones who trotted back to the master and the sound of the whistle graduated. And the ones who had put their muzzles in the water went back to school. And it was the ones who trotted back that were given to the king. The Holy Spirit is just like that whistle. The Holy Spirit is inside you. He's your teacher. He is your guide. He is your fulfillment. He is everything that is inside you. He's a person. He's not an it. He's a person, and a person talks. And He'll speak through you. And there's such a tremendous importance in your prayer time, in your worship time, and in your studying the Scripture, so you can foster a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'll share about how after I gave my heart to Christ, within a few hours, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and how my life was totally turned around. And I'm praying that this message I'm giving you today, and these Scriptures that I have given you, that you'll study them out over this next week, and you'll pray over them, and you'll spend time in prayer and in worship yourself, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And next week, I'll show you exactly how it came in my life, and I'll show you exactly how it can happen in your life. The Holy Spirit. Experience, understand, and share Him, for that's what it's all about. The School of Miracles is now available. It's online. Just simply go to theschoolofmiracles.org. You can enroll today.